Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Mark Asquith, who is a wildly approachable Brit and Star Wars DC Comics geek. He's the founder of a globally successful design agency, two tech startups, the UK's number one business podcast, and a personal brand that has created an audience of worldwide fans of his no shit attitude. He's a regular speaker across the world at tech, business, and media events, and he spends all his speaking fees on hot dogs and beard products. Hey, Mark.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm really well. Thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me. That is not an inaccurate description of me either. I do like hot dogs. I do like beer.
Good to know. If we could get a hot dog sponsor and a beer sponsor sent over this way, that would be great. Thank you.
That's a good show, actually. You could get like Prince's Hot Dogs, link it up with some kind of like craft ale place. Don't even tease me with that.
You know what? I think many of my vegan listeners would be like, no to the hot dogs, but yes to the craft ale, please.
That sounds about right.
What does adulting mean to you?
Kind of just being able to do the right thing for everyone, including yourself. I think that's a big thing. You know, you kind of go through this process, don't you? Where you don't really realize you can do whatever the heck you want. You know, as long as you're a nice person. And then you kind of do realize when you get older, especially I think if you're a nice person, you realize that you can do anything that you want. So then you start doing kind of things for other people. You kind of start helping people out. And sometimes you forget to do the right thing for yourself. So I think it's that just that mix of just being able to do what you want, like even at the micro level, right up to the macro level, and doing whatever you want for other people, to help other people. Like there's no one to say you can't do this thing. But then also doing the right thing for yourself. A lot of people, you know, they kind of, I guess, see a lot of truth in that old quote, you know, life's what happens when you're busy making plans. I think you've got to really just stop and think, what's the thing that I need to do right now? So that's it for me, I think, in a nutshell. I think it's just about being a decent person to everyone else. But you know, there's nothing wrong with putting yourself in the top three people that you'll look after.
I love that. And I think it's really important to remember yourself. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out. So many of my clients and my people and the people that I surround myself with are inherently good humans. Like they care so much and they show up and they're great at being of service to others. And they often put themselves at the bottom of that pile, right? Like they forget to apply all of these wonderful values that they have to themselves as well.
Exactly. It's such a difficult thing because you catch yourself doing this all the time, actually. You catch yourself telling people, all right, think straight, be calm, take a breath, all that kind of good stuff. And then you still fly off the handle when, you know, someone cuts you up in traffic or whatever. And you do, you know, it's that whole practice what you preach thing. And we all forget to do that. We all forget to do that. But I think understanding that you forget to do that is part of the battle. You know, you've got to kind of accept that being an adult comes with a pile of responsibility that you didn't even ask for. You didn't ask for any of this shit. You know, you didn't ask for a mortgage. You didn't ask for getting older and your back aching or you feeling tired at 10 p.m. You didn't ask for any of this shit. So you've got to just take a second for yourself and think, wait a minute, what am I trying to tell people that I'm just blatantly ignoring myself? And especially in like this kind of entrepreneurial world, in this world where Instagram's so prevalent, where everyone's meditating and eating, you know, kind of fancy avocado smashed up on sourdough bread. Like who gives a shit? You know, you stop worrying about all that stuff. And I think we're kind of made to feel a little bit bad, aren't we, sometimes if we don't follow a certain way of life.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me as an adult because you're brought up that way. Like you are totally 100% brought up to follow your parents' life. Even if they say to you, do you know what, do what you want, by virtue of 16 years with them, at least their values are instilled in you. And I think it takes you another 10 years to get out of that and to figure out what you are about. And, you know, I think,
but I'm really interested, like, how that journey has been for you, right? Because that incredible bio that I read out at the beginning is jam-packed full of other people's needs, wants, desires, you know, obligations, intentions, agendas. How do you manage that?
I think you've just got to be really kind of conscious about what you can give. It's easy. That old adage where, you know, you give someone an inch, they'll take a mile is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how well you do it. Doesn't matter how much you give. A vast majority of people will always say that you're not doing enough. Regardless, it's just the way of the world. And again, I think in this world of instant gratification, in this world of instant response that we live in, that it's really difficult not to get sucked into all that crap, because you are there on your phone and it buzzes and someone's having a little whine at you on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to be really mindful of what you exist to do. And again, that's back to whatever the heck you want it to be. You know, you exist to do whatever you want to do, to live how you want to live. And if you try and give too much to people, if you try and give everything that you've got, you better believe they're going to take it. And they'll always finish with, well, let me know how I can help you. Like, great, that's really nice, but you never turn up for that. You know, people will take. And that sounds so cynical, but here's the caveat. You've got to make sure to be around the right kind of people. Mm. You know, the best sort of people you can have in your life are the people that are going to argue with you. The people that are going to tell you that you've been a bit of a dick. The people that are going to tell you that you're wrong. The people that are going to tell you that you're doing too much, you're giving too much, you're not taking enough. Maybe you're not even giving enough. You know, maybe you've gone too far the other way. You need those people who aren't just going to be yes men, look how great you are. You need the people that are going to stand up and say, do you know what, actually, you are being a bit of a dick. And here's why.
Okay, so for you then, was it your childhood, your parents, your upbringing, you know, those first 16 years, as you mentioned earlier, or was it the kind of burnout that I know that you experienced in 2012 and that kind of had that thing that taught you gave you this wisdom that you have now?
Do you know what? I completely realized I didn't even answer your question then. I just went on a monologue. Yeah, good question. And asked in a very different way, but the same question. That's good interview skills, Ebony. I like that. Because I suck at this. What color is the sky? Well, I like cheese. That's how I answer questions. Well, let me get to that. It's a funny one. I think it's like the burnout, when I look back at it, wasn't really that big a deal. It wasn't that big a burnout. It was just a little bit of a burnout. And I'm generally a nice guy. Like I'll give a lot of time to people. I give so much time to people and I'll always listen. I'll always try and help and either connect people with other people or give a solution or do whatever. And I think what you kind of go through certain life stages, you know, and it's almost like a marketing funnel. Think about, you know, everyone that you accumulate as friends right at the top of the funnel, friends, colleagues, peers, every relationship that you've got goes into the top of this funnel. And then shit happens on the way down. You know, you get knocked off the wall. It's like kaplunk, you know, with the marbles and you're pulling out the pins and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all these friends and these people who were around, they do one of two things. They disappear or they galvanize and they become your core. And I think as we go through life, you know, you start to understand what type of people you need to be around. So for me, it was very much a, you know, you fill the pot. And you've got your childhood friends, you've got your childhood family, you've got the people you were around. And then, you know, at varying stages, you go through whatever. You're 19, you break up with your first girlfriend. That didn't happen to me. I'm using it as an example. But you get to 19 and you go through the first real quote-unquote breakup, which is basically like nothing when you look back at it. But at the time, it's the worst thing ever. Yeah. And half of the people that were your best friends that you went out with every Saturday with suddenly disappear because they can't be bothered with all that crap. But then the other half kind of hang around. And I think for me, it's just been a series, as it is for all of us, of these different types of positives and negatives. The first few years, the first 16, what you're absolutely doing is you're measuring against your mum and your dad's standards or your parents or the people around your standards. So what you tend to do is that you'll measure the people who disappear. You'll measure their response to your situation based on how your mother and father would have measured that.
Mm.
Which can then, this is what I was saying, it takes you kind of like 10 years to get away from that and said, you know what, actually, it's kind of all right that these people have disappeared or that these people have come to me. The people I've never heard from before that are actual friends versus those that kind of bail. And you year on year, event on event, life cycle, you start to form this core of people around you, who are genuine people. So for me, it was like the first 16 years was just, it's kind of just noise, isn't it? You know, you're just passing a series of tests. Have you done this at school? Yeah, fine. Crack on, next thing. And it's a little bit, apart from the growing up bit of it and the learning about yourself and enjoying your time, it doesn't do that much for you. So for me, like the first 16 years was just, it was all right. It was just, you know, you have a good time with your family, your friends and the people around you. The next 16 are where it gets really interesting. So for me, it was sort of like, okay, the first 5 years of that second half were measuring based on the shit that people had told me.
Right.
And then you go through the process of thinking, do you know what? That thing that my dad told me or my mum told me or my grandmother told me, like that's a little bit bullshit. Like I just don't, for some reason, I don't believe that. I don't know what, and then you start measuring on your own terms. So yeah. For me, it's just been the first 16 years accumulating knowledge from everyone around. And then you start year on year peeling back the layers. And for me, that's what the journey's been like. It's just continually kind of accumulating more knowledge and then getting rid of 80% of it.
And you may or may not agree, but I feel like running a business or being in the entrepreneurial space accelerates that journey.
Yeah, it does, because you're exposed to that many different people and knowledge. Like I've got friends that I went to school with that live like a mile away from house that I never see, and if I don't see them again, it's all good. And I've got friends that live in America and Toronto and Canada that I've met twice that I talk to that much and rely upon that much for support that, you know, if I didn't see them again, it would be a travesty. And you're right. I think it's the volume of information. And I think this is one thing that they don't really teach you at school, is that the curriculums that we're given and the way that we're taught to be a kid, because we're taught to be a certain type of child.
Yeah.
We are exposed to the type of information that those around us want to give us. And when you start to peel back the layers of that and you get to 19, 20, 21, 22, you peel back a lot of that crap and you start reading this book over here that no one had ever told you about. And then you like that and you learn 10% from that. So you accumulate more of that stuff. And that's where being in the entrepreneurial space, the business space, you are just exposed to a sheer amount of things, people, circumstances, knowledge, literature, content, you know, videos, audio, that it's just easier to accelerate your personal development and become, I think, like become an adult in your own terms, on your own terms and in your own way, a lot quicker than say someone that is, and I, you know, I don't mean this to sound disparaging because it's not, it takes all sorts, but someone that gets a job at 16, works that job until they're 50, kind of goes home on an evening, sticks Netflix on, sticks a bit of TV on. You're not exposing yourself to anything that's going to help you to make decisions or to.
And I think that is the thing, right? Like, for a lot of people, decision fatigue is what leads to burnout in the entrepreneurial space or in the business space, because there's just so many decisions that we have to make every day. And actually, the pros of that are that we learn who we are. We go through this process of self-actualization just by the sheer amount of decisions that we get to make.
Yeah, and we're forced to make them as well.
It's not like some people just opt out and go, I'm not going to make any decisions. I'm going to stay in a job. It's so much easier. It's so much more comfortable just to have someone else make decisions, tell me where to tone up, tell me what to do, tell me how to be. And that really works for some people. I wish I was that kind of a person. Like that's,
I agree.
I can't. I need to be the one making all the decisions, and that's just how I was wired, right?
Exactly, and I'm totally with you on that, Ebony, because I think it's. I have this conversation very often where I wish that I wasn't like I am sometimes, because it's really hard. Like your brain never switches off, and you are constantly putting yourself under pressure. Like my personal brand that I'm just rebranding at the minute, I'm moving it to markasquith.com just because it's easier. But my previous brand name for that was Excellence Expected. And, you know, that was, it's still a mantra that I live by, the idea, the more you expect from yourself, the more you'll excel. Because you do, like people like you and me, we will always give 150%. And you expect that of yourself, which is why the other people who aren't necessarily motivated by the same things look at you and think, how the hell have you done that? And it's to us, it's just, you just go from one thing to the next and nothing's actually that hard because you're just equipped with the skills, or like you said, you've gone through self-actualization, you've figured out the knowledge and the skill set that you need to be able to deal with things that come your way, or you've developed perseverance or patience or the understanding that time will fix everything. You've developed all these things, but it is really difficult. It is really difficult. And just to put some context around this decision-making, for some people, I am envious of this, for some people, the biggest decision is, how long do you go away on vacation for?
Sorry, I really didn't mean to laugh out loud at that. I really didn't.
It's true though. And people, and it's not a bad thing, because people absolutely love that lifestyle. And I wish that I was like that sometimes, that I could turn up at 5 p.m. at home and just do whatever the hell I wanted, rather than think to myself, do you know what? I'm going to sketch out the interface for that new podcast hosting platform we're building, just because it's 9 o'clock and Netflix is boring. Like, it's not a lifestyle that's easy, because you forget basic things if you're not careful. You forget to live if you're not careful.
So, okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how is your work-life balance?
I don't think there is even such a thing.
Neither, but I just, you know, I'm interested.
Oh, it's crap, but it's actually brilliant as well, because I came to the conclusion years and years ago that I will always be working and I will never be working at exactly the same time. Like, nothing that I do feels like work, but then everything that I do to other people that don't quite get that, to those guys, it looks like work. So what I think tends to happen is that you end up with more like this work-life harmony. And this is something that's in a few different books. I've heard it around before, but the notion is that each part of your life takes from it what it needs to at any given time. So one day, you know what it's like. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're building a business, whatever, you will work 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, but your kid falls over, breaks his tooth on the pavement, ends up in A&E in the emergency room. Guess what? Everything else can wait, because you're not beholden to any other set of rules, because you make the rules. So I think everything takes what it needs from you at any given time. So one week you might be working a pile on work, but the next week your family is the utmost priority and you don't do a damn thing. And that's a very fortunate position to be in. So it's sort of the rough with the smooth a little bit. You've almost got to accept that it will be hard, but you will be able to do things that other people can't do.
Yeah. So I call that right ratios. And for me, like, right ratios is more accurate than work-life balance, because my life is just not balanced, never has been, never will be. But there are the right ratios. And for me, it's about learning when I'm on and when I'm not on. I'm never going to be off, but there's on and available for others, and on kind of in recharge mode or like with the focus and attention being on me. And that's taken years actually to kind of really understand and to integrate. And I think everybody's going to have their own way of finding that place and understanding, you know, what recharges them, whether it is being around other people, whether it's being alone, whether it's being creative. Like, we all have different fuel, if you like.
Yeah, we do. And it's recharging that pot. And it's, you know, I do a lot of kind of geeky stuff. You know, I'll do, like, I've got a Star Wars podcast. Like, why the hell are you podcasting when all you do is talk to podcasters? Because, you know, an hour a week talking about Star Wars is fine. I enjoy that. It recharges. I always think you can break your work life down into three pots. You know, when you think about tasks, there are three pots to me. And I call this the triple I principle. You can break everything that you do into three different areas. They're either important things, they're either integral things, or they're interesting things. And the key is getting the important shit done as soon as you can, to the best of your ability, without it being perfect. the integral things are the things that you can't get away without doing: emailing, phone calls, sending invoices, getting paid. You know, if they didn't happen, you wouldn't be able to do them. But then the interesting stuff is what fuels you. You know, so if you do, it's like it quenches your thirst, the interesting stuff. So if at lunchtime you spend an hour reading a book that you enjoy, or watching The Office, or doing whatever, that recharges you. Even if your passion is writing and you're a writer, but at work you don't write, doing an hour's worth of writing is going to recharge you. So booking in time to do interesting stuff is just as vital as doing the important stuff and the integral stuff. The challenge is managing those.
Yeah.
And knowing where to put them. Now, the interesting part of that to me is understanding how your body works. You know, I will never do meetings. I'll never do calls unless it's an extreme emergency or it's a real tough situation to do anything else. I will never do anything except the important stuff on a morning, because that's when my brain is at its most creative and vibrant. And then I'll do like the integral stuff after lunch, because the carbs have hit me and I'm just ready for bed. And then around this time, which is 4 p.m. UK time, I've perked back up a little bit. So I'm actually all right for conversations. And that's the interesting stuff, you know? So I think you've got to be mindful of that. You've got to listen to your body, listen to your head, listen to understanding where you're most effective. And it's, you know, to bring it right full circle, you know, you to be a good adult, to be an effective adult, that's all it's about. Is just breaking every single thing that you do in your life down to important, integral, and interesting. And if you look at that on a personal scale, like important shit, go and see your mum, because one day she will die. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to just go and do that stuff. Integral, make sure you're eating and exercising. Like, if you don't do that, you will die. And then, you know, the interesting stuff is just do your Star Wars podcast, go and read your book, watch The Office, go and play golf, go to the gym, go and, you know, knit, do whatever the hell you want. But people don't think about it like that. People just think, all this stuff. And it's just not how it works.
I love this. I love it so much. We've whizzed through our time together. And I would love to know whether you have an I'm an adult, but for me.
I think everyone's got about 10 of those, haven't they? I'm an adult, but I can't swim very well. I've got a second one, which is I'm an adult, but the absolute favorite thing that I spend most of my time doing is reading actual real life comics, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
It's not. And I have a stack of comics downstairs that at some point I will show you and be like, are any of these interesting?
The only way to find out is to read them.
No, I've read them, but why am I keeping them? That's the question.
Because they're interesting. Well, good. You see, we found kinship there. That's, you know, when you say that to a lot of people, you always get like a condescension from that. You suddenly become different in certain people's eyes, like the receptionist at the studio. And have you got
really? Yeah. I see. That makes you more like, to me, the perfect adult is a blend of responsibility and playfulness, right? So if you can't be a wise sage and a four-year-old, you're not a good adult in my mind.
Oh, big time. If you're not seeing how far you can throw a French fry with tomato ketchup down a restaurant, then you ain't really adulting, you know?
Yeah. And on that note, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.